Well, hey there, come on in. We're just about to start. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a fun weekly podcast about nutrition and healthy lifestyle. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative and entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
Join us each week as we strive to help you with transforming your overall health and relationship with food through up-to-date, evidence-based nutrition information. Arthritis can impact quality of life and really affect day-to-day living when you're in a flare. What types of arthritis are there? What happens when an individual is in a flare with their arthritis? How do they cope through the day? Are there ways to eat that help symptoms? Are there specific foods that can make arthritis pain worse or better? What types of nutrients, and are there any supplements to help someone living with the pain and heat of arthritis? All these questions are discussed and more on today's lively episode as Rob and I interview guest expert Samantha Holmgren, dietitian who's been living with arthritis for over a decade and helps sufferers with living a life with more intention and self-management to help take control of their condition. Stay with us.
Enjoying the show? You can help others find it and enjoy it too by giving us a 5-star rating or review. If you feel like reaching out to us with a question or comment, you can send us an email at mywifetherd@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our website at mywifethedietitian.com, as well as our social media pages. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy the show. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian. Hello, Sandra.
Hi, Rob.
How are you today?
I'm great. We're interviewing a fellow Canadian dietitian.
Woo, a Canadian.
Yeah.
From the Great White North.
Arthritis best foods.
Oh, arthritis.
Yeah, she's been living with arthritis since she was 24, so.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So that's who she helps, people living with arthritis. And she's a dietitian, so the focus is on nutrition and lifestyle and how to help self-manage your condition.
Yeah, sounds like she's the perfect person to discuss this with. So yeah, well, let's get into it. We'll go meet Samantha.
Sounds great. Hi, Samantha. Thanks so much for coming on our show today. And could you tell the audience and listeners who you are, what you do, how you help people?
Absolutely. So my name's Samantha Holmgren. I am a registered dietitian in Ontario, Canada. I focus on helping people who have chronic pain and fatigue because I do too. I was diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis at 24 years old.
Wow.
And I had a severe flare when I was 28 years old, like laying down on the floor just to try to make it slightly better pain.
Is that normal at that age? That seems really young to me. I think of arthritis as being like what, you know, elderly people get.
Yeah. So there are like 100 different types of arthritis.
Okay.
And when it comes to spondylitis conditions, so that includes ankylosing spondylitis, psoriatic arthritis, and a few other types under that umbrella, the typical age of onset is between 20 to 50 years old.
Really?
Diagnosis is usually 30 to 50 because it generally takes
10 years.
Yeah, many years to get diagnosed. I was really lucky in that it was about 7 months from the start of my flare at 24 years old to meeting with a rheumatologist and getting the diagnosis.
Wow. And when you say a flare, what does that look like or feel like,
yeah.
I guess?
Yeah. So most inflammatory arthritis, but especially psoriatic arthritis, goes through periods of flares where there is more inflammation and pain, and then periods of remission. So during a flare, you might have one joint or multiple joints be red, swollen, painful, tender. And in between, I still have like the joint stiffness you know, when I first wake up, my hands are very stiff. I'm more likely to fumble and drop things. My fingers just sometimes stop working. Yeah. And then, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of weakness as well. So
that's different than just like, I get up in the morning and I feel stiff. Kind of, you know, it's a more extreme version of that, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it depends on the person and it depends on what their condition is doing.
Okay.
So for me right now, I've been in a period of remission for a while. And most mornings, it's not that much different. Other than, you know, most people, when they're stiff from laying down, it's, you know, their back or their big muscles. And it's a muscle stiffness.
Right, right.
Whereas for me, it's in my hands mostly. And it kind of feels like I've got a really tight tensor bandage on all of my fingers.
Oh, crazy.
Oh, okay.
I can move them like normal. It just takes a little bit more effort to do it. And it's not comfortable, but it's not necessarily pain. Not being in a flare.
Right. It's just tight. And I understand. Yeah. That's a good way to explain it with the tensor bandage. I was just kind of thinking what that would feel like. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how many flares have you had since 24 years old?
I've been really lucky. So I had that, like my first flare at 24, and it was fairly typical for psoriatic arthritis in that I had it in one joint at that time. And then between 24 and my big one when I was 28, I had a few, I'd say minor flares, where it was only a few weeks at a time.
Okay.
It would, you know, be in one particular joint or with psoriatic arthritis, it can also affect the tendons and ligaments and especially like the attachment points to the joints. So it's a little bit different in that way. So sometimes it's just like a tendonitis, but it's actually my arthritis causing it.
Holy. Oh my goodness. Okay. Oh my God. And this is all like, it has basically informed your work and who you work with. Is that right?
Absolutely. So because I came from this place and especially in the aftermath of that severe flare when I was 28, I realized that when you're in the midst of it, trying to feel good is too big of a goal. You know you're not going to feel good that day. So putting the focus on making those days suck less actually it helped me so much to be like, well, my joints aren't going to get any better today, but my muscles are starting to hurt because I haven't moved. So let me just do a 20-second plank. Because that will help my muscles right now.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Oh, that's so. It's just it's a shift in your mindset about like trying to just feel like good, like normal. It's just to suck less, like have the day suck less.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. And similarly with food, like I'm not going to be able to stand and cook. Thankfully, I have an amazing husband who just took it over and did all of the cooking. He already was doing more than half, but he started doing just all of the cooking.
Perfect.
Nice.
Husbands are good sometimes, right?
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. There you go. You got lucky.
I got lucky. But then when I was homesick, because I unfortunately had a lot of sick days during that flare because I couldn't. I was home alone during the day. So I still need to feed myself. I'm not going to be able to cook something. There isn't always leftovers. But right. How can I make something semi-balanced? So like, mm-hmm. Let's throw some frozen peas in with the rice that I'm heating up because I want something warm, but I just can nuke it for 2 minutes and it's good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So how can I bring just a little bit of balance so that I'm not just eating chips?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which
exactly.
Is the,
just
the
something
easy go-to.
To,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to make me feel good, but just eating the chips is going to make me feel terrible. So let's add some fruits or some vegetables or some nuts or something to get a little bit more balance to what I'm eating so that I feel a little better.
By this time, you were a dietitian at 28
yes.
when the flare. Okay. Okay. So you kind of had
yeah.
a little bit of like knowledge about physiology and how nutrients yeah. work and everything. So you're like, okay, I can actually make myself feel a little bit better or make it just feel way worse if I eat chips or, you know, those kind of things.
Yes. Yeah. I was actually I was 23 when I became a dietitian.
Okay.
So during my diagnosis journey,
right.
I was already a dietitian working in the healthcare system, which unfortunately gave me a leg up because I knew the people I was talking to. They could see me trying to do the physiotherapy because I'd just go to the physiotherapist's area to do my exercises on my coffee break. And they could see, well, physiotherapy isn't helping this joint pain, so let's dig a little deeper.
Right? Okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then in your journey, you've kind of almost been a guinea pig in terms of like what works and what doesn't work in terms of diet and lifestyle. And now you like you help people, like you are teaching people, you have courses online and a lot of your clients have a form of arthritis. Is that right?
Yeah. So I focus on helping people. When I first started my practice, I said specifically inflammatory arthritis, but I realized that not everyone has access to that diagnosis, first of all. And secondly, when we're talking about pain and fatigue, it doesn't really matter why you got there.
Yeah.
Similar strategies are going to help.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. Okay. I get it. So it's like people just want relief.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. if they can have some control in their life with what they eat, then that's helping with just everything, right? Because if you have some control around what you're doing every day for your chronic pain and your symptoms, then that gives you power.
Absolutely. And that sense of control and that empowerment is so underrated and it shouldn't be overlooked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. Oh my gosh, that's huge. Yeah. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I mean, you've been through this journey. So you know the symptoms that people are dealing with every day. You know how they're feeling. You know the effect that like if they just, you know, had a bag of chips, as you mentioned, like mm-hmm. if that makes it worse or better or whatever. But, you know, at the time it makes you feel good or it's like easy, but then that actually might put you back a bit. So like all these things, it's cool that you've been through the journey or you are on your journey and you can help people. Like you can kind of be a passenger with them as they're driving their mm-hmm. health journey, right?
Yeah. And it really is a journey. Like there's no do this one thing and you'll never have to think about it again and you'll never have another flare again. You know, despite doing the best I can, there is a near certainty that I will have another flare.
Right, right. It's a lifelong.
You're just learning some tools to deal with it along the way, right? That's kind of what you have to do. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, we used to teach chronic pain self-management groups. It was like a 6-week program in person in our local town. And it was so powerful, like just the journey and just the, you know, people writing down like small, tiny goals, like SMART goals, just that they wanted to work on for the next week. And, you know, it does give you some power back to take control and to be able to have those tiny milestones that actually help with the pain and help with the symptoms without taking, you know, without relying just on medication or just the help from the doctor or just, you know what I mean? Because that the help from the doctor isn't a daily thing. Like it's something you know, you go see your doctor when you need help or when you need a prescription or whatever, but you're living in your body day after day after day. So you have to make these decisions that can impact how you feel and then impact like your symptoms and just, yeah, your energy. And as you said, make mm-hmm. the day suck a little bit less.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So in this journey that you've been on for the last years that you've been, you know, having to deal with arthritis and you're, you know, helping to prevent flares, is it possible? Like, do you think like you can actually with your lifestyle and what you're doing, can you help to reduce the onset of a flare?
The research suggests that it's true. But I can't know for sure. Like, I don't have an identical twin who's living the same lifestyle ish, but with one or two differences. Like, I can't say for sure whether anything I'm doing is actually having an impact or if I'm just genetically lucky.
Right. And that's a lot of pressure too, right? Like, it's a lot of pressure on the individual to think, oh my God, you know, this is my fault that I have a flair, or, you know what I mean? Like, that's sometimes not helpful either, because it's like, oh, I went out for, you know, I went out and I had drinks and birthday cake or whatever. And then, oh my God, I'm waking up with a flair. But at the same time, knowledge is power. But yeah it's kind of like that. Oh, it's a balance.
It is. And it's so easy to, when we start talking about lifestyle things you can do to prevent a flare, it's so easy for your brain to take the leap that says, if I end up in a flare, it was my fault.
Right. Yes. Yes.
What did I do wrong? Right.
Exactly. It's so easy for our brain to just take that tiny little step. It's not even a leap to say, I must have done this, because if I can do X, Y, Z to prevent a flare, then clearly I did A, B, C to cause it.
Right. Yeah, and so we're true. Human, you know, like, we live our lives and we can't be machines where we do the right thing and the, you know, eat the right way all the time. Like, it's just, I mean, I think people living with diabetes and other chronic conditions have a similar feeling, you know, like, it's kind of like, did I cause this? Is this my fault?
And it's like, you can do a few things that will increase your risk or decrease your risk, but it's still a risk no matter what. You can do everything by the book perfectly and yet still have a flare, still have high blood sugar, still have a heart attack. Like, there are things that you flat out do not have any control over. And it's that balancing act of, I can't fully control this, but I can control something. So I can empower myself to do what I can, but if life still happens and something comes out of left field, it's not my fault.
Right. You can do the best you can, and you know, I mean, it's not going to hurt to try, right? I mean, it gives you that much more chance of things working in your favor than against you.
Absolutely. And this is also where I like to talk about mindful eating as well. Because when you eat well, it feels better.
Oh, always.
Yes.
Right? When you eat a lot of very highly processed foods, not a lot of fruits and vegetables, you're not drinking water, your body feels miserable. It doesn't matter whether you have any diagnoses at all. It feels miserable when you eat like that all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
So eating well helps you today feel better than if you don't eat well. And maybe it also helps prevent things in the future.
Totally. Right. Exactly.
So when you say eating well, what are some ideas of kind of like anti-inflammatory or like eating well for your arthritis?
Absolutely. So when we talk about like the best foods for arthritis, I always like to throw in the caveat that like there's no food so healthy that it's going to guarantee you health. And there's no food so terrible that it's going to ruin your health permanently.
True. Right.
And again, it's the fact that it sounds very obvious when you state it out loud, but our brain is very good at taking these leaps into extreme thought. And that black and white thinking just isn't helpful.
No, exactly. So, exactly. That's so true. Yeah, I love that.
So with that sort of caveat out there, the first food that I always talk about is fatty fish for those omega-3s. So we're talking, you know, salmon, trout, herring, all of those nice fatty fish for the omega-3s.
Right.
Yes.
Are really, really important. We always want to get nutrients from food wherever possible because it's tastier and more enjoyable than taking yet another pill.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We always say the same thing.
Absolutely. For omega-3 specifically, there's a lot of research in that nutrient, especially in rheumatoid arthritis. Other types of arthritis, like I mentioned before, I have psoriatic arthritis. There's a lot less research in these smaller types. I was recently taking a dive into the research, and one review that I looked at, 5 of the studies included in that review measured the use of NSAIDs, so non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like Advil or Aleve. In all five of these studies, people who are taking omega-3 supplements were able to reduce their usage of the NSAIDs.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Wow. Oh my gosh. And this is rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah. Rheumatoid arthritis specifically is what
That's
these
good. I have so many clients, locally and that I've talked to in the past 25 years of being a dietitian with rheumatoid arthritis. And that's a real one that we see. I guess there's a family history component where it's hereditary. That's good to know. So omega-3s and salmon, okay, good to know.
Yeah, absolutely. So omega-3s are very powerful, and there's a lot of research that's been done over a very long period of time. So omega-3s are definitely one that I recommend. If you have a fish allergy, the algae supplements are the same thing. In fact, the salmon and those fish, they don't actually make very much of the omega-3s. It's just been bioaccumulated up the food chain from the microalgae.
Oh, interesting. Ah, really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Huh.
I think, you know what, we actually interviewed
Vicento
Molina, who did Becoming Vegan and Becoming Vegetarian books that are used as textbooks in other countries. And she mentioned that it's the algae. You don't have to have fish itself. Like if you are vegan and you don't eat fish, then the algae. That's so interesting that you said that. That's it's a bioaccumulation up the food chain.
Yeah, makes sense. Huh.
Whenever, as I've been doing this research, the thing that comes to mind is actually the Magic School Bus episode on phytoplankton and zooplankton.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my daughter's obsessed with the Magic School Bus.
Oh, it's a great show.
Amazing. Awesome. We bought the whole series on DVD.
It's educational, you know? It's not just silly cartoons. It's actually, there's some value
to it. And I think I've seen that episode. You're right.
I know. It sounds familiar.
Yeah. It's so phytoplankton versus what?
Zooplankton. So the zooplankton are the microscopic animals that eat the phytoplankton.
Oh, interesting. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
We'll have to link that in the show notes, Sandra.
Yeah, right.
There we go.
Coming off of that tangent and back to omega-3.
Right.
The other part of the equation when we're talking about omega-3s are omega-6 fats. So omega-3s, omega-6, this is referring to the chemical structure of the omega-3s, omega-6s based off of where double bonds are. It's technical, but it's interesting if you want to go down the rabbit hole, but not entirely relevant here. What's important is our body can't convert between them.
Right.
And omega-6s are essential nutrients.
Your body can't make them, right? You have to eat them.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Omega-6s are essential nutrients. Just like inflammation is an essential immune process. We need inflammation to happen in our body. It's
really
a key part. It is. It's a key part of healing from injuries and illnesses.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, if
you
cut your finger, Rob, and you didn't have inflammation, then it wouldn't heal. And we need it to heal. Yeah. Like we want the acute inflammation to heal, but it's a chronic problem.
We're so used to associating that word in a negative way that, you know, but to hear that it's essential, it's good to hear that.
Absolutely. So omega-6s, inflammation, both very essential processes and things for our body. The problem comes when there's chronic inflammation or when there's an imbalance of the omega-6 and the omega-3. Omega-6 produces the pro-inflammatory messengers in our body that says, hey, something's going on. We need inflammation. The omega-3s produce the anti-inflammatory messengers that say, hey, everything's cool. You can settle down now.
Okay.
But
I
when
love
you
that
have
description, Samantha, that's awesome. Because it's a hard thing to describe to people. And I really like that you said that the omega-6 and the omega-3 are essential. And so is the inflammatory process. They're all essential processes and essential things for our body, but then it's the balance and the keeping it in balance. I love that. Okay. That was a great description. Okay. Keep going. Sorry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the problem that we have in our general diet, in the modern diet, is that we have far more omega-6 fats than omega-3 fats in our diet. And we need to try to bring those back into balance a little bit. So increasing our omega-3 intake from having fish or even taking a supplement is one part of it. But also decreasing the omega-6 a bit will help bring that into balance. So omega-6 fats are found in...
That was going to be my question. Yep.
Yeah, so they're found in a lot of the foods that we see in processed.
Yeah. That's what I thought, yeah.
Omega-6 fats are found in a lot of processed foods. So things like soybean oil, sunflower oil, hydrogenated fats, these tend to be omega-6 based, whereas the omega-3s are the fish, but also seeds like flax or chia are also a source of a type of omega-3 fat.
Well, good. Rob just had those this morning, so did I. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, I love to add ground flax into my oatmeal.
That's exactly what I do. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
It's
one of those things when I started doing it, I didn't notice a change, but as soon as I ran out and had the oatmeal without the ground flax, it was missing.
Wow.
It's missing something.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
yeah, for totally. Sure. Yeah.
Another way that we can reduce the omega-6 is to replace it with olive oil.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yep.
Yeah. So that's my second recommended food to include. It's not an omega-6 or omega-3. In fact, it's in a different
omega
class
9,
of fats.
Isn't it? It's an omega-9, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It
okay.
is. Yeah. So the oleic acid is in the omega-9 category. And there's a good reason why olive oil is such a popular healthy fat. There's been a lot of studies in terms of the effect on heart health and inflammatory markers. One study that I read in my recent deep dive into the research mm-hmm. also included a comparison between supplementing olive oil and supplementing omega-3s and the effect that it had on inflammatory markers.
Oh, that's an interesting study.
It was a meta-analysis. So it included 6 studies that compared olive oil and omega-3s. And the effect was very, very similar, with olive oil having a bit of an edge. Olive oil had a bigger effect on the inflammatory markers than omega-3s.
Love it. That's awesome. Because a lot of people can add olive oil. Like it's a bit easier yeah. than the fish for many people.
Yeah. And the thing is, in real life, you don't have to choose between olive oil and fish. You know, you can cook your fish in olive oil.
So, yeah.
If you have both, it is an amazing combination.
Yes.
And also replacing some of those soybean or sunflower oils with olive oil within your diet contributes to that balance of inflammatory processes.
Wow. That is like key information. That is really, really helpful, because just the way you described that, all of that is really important. And the research that backs it up, the meta-analysis, which is like looking at all those studies together and getting the conclusion. So, wow, that's incredible. Hey, Rob?
Yeah, it's good to get those kind of facts straight, because there's so many misleading ideas out there these days. It's nice to hear sort of exactly what's what from someone who knows and has done the deep dive, like you said you have, right? So I do have a question about... like the anti-inflammatory diet that's kind of popular these days, mm-hmm. which it's kind of like one of those trendy fad diets too, I think. Is that kind of helpful for people in your condition, or is it kind of doing a disservice? Is it spreading misinformation? It's like, how does that fit in?
Part of the issue with the anti-inflammatory diet is there's different ways that it's described.
Right.
Exactly. And some of them are great. Other ones are too restrictive or more restrictive than necessary.
Sure.
For most people. So it depends on the specific way that the anti-inflammatory diet is structured. Generally, we don't need to be super strict and restrictive on things. It all goes back to that idea of balance. you know, just like always. The omega-6s are pro-inflammatory, but they're also an essential nutrient.
True.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I mean, if we get our omega-6s in like eating a handful of sunflower seeds or, you know, that kind of thing, yeah. I think it's a bit, because it's a whole food, you get fiber, you get the other nutrients like vitamin E and, you know, B vitamins in that handful of sunflower seeds, that I think that's a healthier way to get your omega-6s than through, you know, a refined oil that's been, you know, processed. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so because we know that with that whole processing, like that, the way they process those oils is they don't have health in mind. You know what I mean? Like when they're extracting different oils and making them for human consumption, it's not necessarily, oh, this is going to be healthy for people. It's, you know what I mean? So it's interesting.
Yeah, they're concerned with shelf stability. They're concerned with the oil not going rancid.
Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
And that's not always consistent with what would be best for our health, because a lot of those compounds, like if you think of the olive oil and like the extra virgin olive oil that's less processed than a light olive oil, the extra virgin olive oil has a lot of compounds in it that give it the flavors and are also anti-inflammatory and antioxidants, but they also go bad faster.
Exactly. Which is a good thing. I mean, I always say to people, you know, if something goes bad on the counter, that means it's natural. It's like it has a lot of water content. It's got natural enzymes to break it down. And that's actually a good thing, because things that are shelf stable, they, you know, they can be on the counter forever and they don't break down. So, you know, it's just a different way to look at your food. And exactly. I mean, those, like you said, I mean, you get more benefit from the olive oil that's less processed, like the extra virgin, and it's got more polyphenols, more antioxidants, and more anti-inflammatory benefits. So I love that. Yes.
And also those polyphenols, when I was reading the research, I didn't realize this before that, but those same polyphenols are actually a food source for beneficial bacteria.
Oh, like the prebiotics.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a prebiotic.
Interesting. Yeah.
Which I did not realize before I was reading this study. I was like, oh, that's cool. It's just another added benefit to that extra virgin olive oil.
It's all connected, eh? Like our health, it's so connected to our gut, what we're eating, how we're processing the food in our, you know, in our gut. We don't even know what's going on down there, but you're giving it the components that makes our microbiome healthier, and it just, it flourishes. So that's so cool. Rob, isn't your mind blown?
I know. This is another one of these. I don't have a science background. I'm more like psychology and social science, but we do these interviews and episodes sometimes where it's like a chemistry lesson. And I mean, I'm following along as best I can, but it's fascinating, really. I mean, even though I don't understand it completely, it's really interesting how it all works and how foods interact with each other and interact with our bodies and affect different systems in our bodies. It's neat stuff for sure.
Yeah.
I do have another question. We just did an episode the other day on orange foods and the beta carotene kind of rich foods. Is that something that affects anti-inflammatory function at all, or?
We are on the same page, because the next thing I had in my little notes was to mention colorful fruits and vegetables.
There we go. I was actually told to ask that. So, yeah.
Very funny. To be honest.
So the same compounds that give color to our fruits and vegetables, like the orange beta carotene, are also antioxidants.
Oh, awesome.
So in popular writing, antioxidants are often associated with anti-aging, but they're also relevant when it comes to inflammation. And I had a hard time putting those two pieces together and like, how does that fit? Until a couple of lines in a research study gave me a little aha moment. So oxidative stress is what happens when your body has an imbalance of pro-oxidants, which can be environmental Like if you smoke, you're going to have more of those compounds,
right.
But they're also just a byproduct of normal biological things happening.
Right.
So when you have an imbalance of pro-oxidants and antioxidants, that is oxidative stress. And that okay. oxidative stress triggers inflammation.
Cool.
Right.
I mean, not, yeah. I mean, cool information. Wow.
You know, Rob, do you remember the, we did an episode on immune function and we talked all about antioxidants and how it's kind mm-hmm. of like
the
kids in a classroom or the kids in a classroom are like free radicals. They're just like, you know, like they're like pro-oxidants, like they're just going crazy and they're kind of destroying stuff. And then the teacher's like the antioxidant and brings it all together and kind of balances out the energy in the classroom. And it's kind of like that. It's a little bit of a description for, you know, the whole pro-inflammatory and anti-inflammatory yeah. and oxidant. That's good. Okay. Sorry, I just had to bring yeah. that back because I remember we talked about this a couple, like a year and a half ago, Rob.
That's funny.
Yeah. So having that diet filled with antioxidants from your colorful fruits and veggies, as well as from the olive oil, is a huge benefit to inflammation and just overall health and well-being of your body.
Nice.
The big caveat with the antioxidants is I don't recommend taking a supplement purely because it's an antioxidant. If you have too many antioxidants, it's still an imbalance. So it's still causing oxidative stress if you have way too much antioxidants.
Oh, interesting. So it can go either way.
Yeah.
The balance.
Yeah, it's that balancing act. You're not going to get way too much antioxidants from food. Like you can't overdose on food antioxidants.
Right.
But if you take a pill purely because it's an antioxidant, that could actually backfire on you a little bit.
Oh, good to know.
So just eat your colorful fruits and veggies.
What is an like, antioxidant pill? Is that what it's called, or is it something different?
Yeah,
vitamin E, vitamin C.
Oh, I see. Like those are
taking really high doses. Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad I asked because that's what everybody does. I mean, everybody takes those pills, but you don't want to.
And taking.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking some can be beneficial. Most people don't need vitamin C. Like you can get your entire day's dose from a single orange. Like you don't need that much vitamin C.
Right.
So most of the time you don't need to take a supplement. There are cases where it's beneficial, but vitamin C usually isn't a crucial supplement to add.
Right.
And taking very high doses can actually backfire a bit. I believe. Yeah.
And vitamin E too. They've recently, it's harmful. Like the SELECT trial with men with prostate cancer.
Yes, that's the one it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was trying to remember. It was vitamin E and I couldn't remember which, what the background was, but it actually increased cancer risk, right?
That's right. That's right. And it works together with selenium, the micronutrient, mm-hmm. the micromineral. But the it's better just to get your vitamin E from your food, like fatty foods, like the nuts and seeds. And the fish. Yeah. And then, wheat germ and whole grains mm-hmm. and then leafy greens like the spinach. But also if you have a multivitamin, then you get a little bit of the small amount of vitamin C, vitamin E, like all those little antioxidants, but not a big mega dose, which can backfire, as you said. Yeah, can throw the balance off.
Hmm.
Exactly.
Good to know.
So interesting, eh? It's just, it is such a complex puzzle and science. Like mm-hmm. I mean, it can be complicated and complex, but at the end of the day, I think what I'm hearing is kind of eating more whole, minimally processed foods more often if you can, and like making sure you're getting those omega-3 rich fish and mm-hmm. the plant fats, like the nuts and seeds and whole grains, the olive oil, the antioxidants. So from colorful vegetables and fruits and like beta carotene, mm-hmm. the orange ones that we talked about.
Yes.
And what about like green leafy vegetables and purple
Absolutely.
Vegetables and red, lycopene rich and
getting the whole rainbow of colors. it's the old advice of variety, right?
Yeah.
Getting the whole spectrum. And one thing that I think people often downplay when it comes to vegetables are frozen vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I agree.
And I had a client recently where I had to really hype up the frozen vegetables. But I mean, where I live in Northwestern Ontario, at this time of year already, most of the frozen vegetables are less expensive and fresher than the fresh vegetables.
Yeah,
right,
for sure.
Because of their like travel, like transportation. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to be buying fresh broccoli until the summer.
Yeah, because where is it fresh from? Like California? It's not fresh from Northern Ontario.
Yeah.
At this time of
so
year.
It by the time it gets to me, it's soft.
And mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I'd rather just get the frozen stuff and cook it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think the quality of frozen vegetables has improved in the last 50 years. Because I remember having frozen vegetables when I was a kid, and it was like, it wasn't. I don't know what's different about it, if there's just more variety or if they've improved the process, but they're a lot nicer to eat than they used to be. So maybe that's why some people are still like, mm-hmm. frozen vegetables. I don't want to eat those. Maybe. I don't know.
Could be. Or maybe it's just the way they're prepared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah they're exactly. used to it being boiled to death.
Well, that's true too. Yeah. There's new cooking options, I suppose. You guys were saying that this is just my take on kind of what I'm hearing, and you're talking about how complex nutrition is and it can be confusing, but that's true. But every week from talking to all these different people, the same thing I hear is balance and variety. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. once again, that's kind of what we've discussed today, you know, as complex as it was, it kind of boils down to just eat a balanced diet and add variety with your fruit and vegetables, well, with everything, and nothing is going to kill you, but just keep it balanced. And it's nice to hear that common thread still repeating itself.
Yeah. And as far as what does a balanced diet look like, the go-to recommendation of the Mediterranean diet mm-hmm. holds true here as well.
Yeah, love the Mediterranean diet.
Fruits and vegetables, olive oil, fish, cooking from home, which means less processed foods. There's a lot of research in a lot of different contexts. So even if it doesn't directly impact your day-to-day arthritis pain, it's still helping you overall.
Right. And it can help with reducing risk of developing other chronic diseases like diabetes and heart disease.
And people with inflammatory health conditions, so psoriatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, we're at an increased risk of heart disease because of the chronic inflammation in our body already.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So eating in alignment with the Mediterranean diet helps to counter that risk.
Yeah, that's even more
awesome.
Important.
That's a really good take-home message mm-hmm. for people, just that it can help overall, but it also can help reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease and heart and improve your heart health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just brain health too, wasn't it? Well, with all the fat, I guess it would be good brain health, like Alzheimer's and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, that's awesome. Wow. That's so, that's a powerful message, really. And there's probably many different medications, but you did mention the NSAIDs, like the Advil.
Yeah.
And those probably have their own host of conditions that they can lead to if you're, you know, liver health and, you know, like kidney problems or I don't know.
Yeah.
Ulcers, like bleeding ulcers.
Exactly. It's not good for your stomach to be taking NSAIDs long term. And there are more medications in the last 10 years than there ever were coming out for these inflammatory health conditions, some of which have less of a side effect profile. Some are just different options because many people go through multiple options to find something that works for them. And in conjunction with whatever medication journey you're on, the lifestyle stuff can also help. So it's not a matter of eat this way and you don't have to take medication. Because if you have active inflammation, so if I was having active joint inflammation, my first call would be to my rheumatologist say, hey, I'm in a bad flare. I need something more, because that active inflammation in the joint is damaging my joint.
Right, right. Wow.
So I don't want to play with my food and maybe it makes the flare go away when there's medication options that have a higher chance of helping faster and reducing the physical joint damage.
Right, right. It's kind of like a war, and it's like you want to win this battle because this is the most important priority right now. And then you'll keep, you know, use other ways to fight the other battles. But right now, today, this is the urgent one. And I get that. Like it's kind of, that makes sense. You have to deal with making your day suck less, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I always like to weave that in there because I'm very much pro medication when it is required.
I think that's the key.
Yeah.
I think the key is when it's required. That's kind of what I'm hearing. Don't be using it all the time. It's just take it when needed, when necessary. And
as prescribed.
As prescribed, but also focus on the other ways of healing yourself through your diet and lifestyle.
Yeah. In conjunction
that makes
with
sense.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And then, I mean, because even mentioning like the NSAIDs and, you know, the whole gut health and that whole balance gets thrown off too. I'm imagining like with certain flares, and if you have to ramp up the NSAIDs and then, darn it, now I've got like, you know, problems with gut health and, you know, all that. So it's kind of this, it's a balance, really.
Absolutely. It all comes back to balance. And I really like that word balance, because for me, it's balance is an internal sense, and it taps into that mindful and intuitive eating, which is so powerful.
True,
in empowering yourself to recognize what your body's saying and respond to that, to find that balance point for you today.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. That's awesome. Oh my goodness. Holy, I could talk to you all day. But we do have a question that we ask every one of our guests. And I think I sent it to you earlier, so you had some time to think about it. But when you go to a potluck dinner, what dish would you bring to share?
I pause for a moment because I don't know when the last time I went to like an actual potluck dinner was. But I usually try to bring dessert to a potluck dinner whenever I can. I have a few recipes up my sleeve, but my favorite cookie recipe specifically is one my mom invented. It is a double chocolate banana cookie recipe.
Oh, interesting. And
they're like little mini cakes.
Like muffins almost, or like cakey?
They're a cookie, but like soft. A cakey cookie. They're very soft, and they're very good if you warm them up.
And do you put chocolate chips in them too?
Yeah, so it's cocoa in the main batter, and then it's got chocolate chips. And sometimes we do milk and dark chocolate, so it's kind of like a triple chocolate.
Oh, nice.
And there's also like coffee in there to like amp up the chocolatiness.
Nice.
Mm.
My mom used to make like banana chocolate chip muffins when I was a kid, and they were just so good. They're just so soft. Like the banana is, so they're probably similar to that. I would probably eat most of those.
Yeah.
Yes. I think we should make those this weekend, Rob.
That sounds pretty good to me. We do have some bananas that need to be used up. So,
oh, perfect.
Absolutely.
I keep buying bananas. Our kids have moved out sort of temporarily, and I keep buying bananas, but clearly it was them that was eating the bananas because they just sit on the counter now. And I'm like, oh, those are going brown. I guess we should do something with those. It's funny.
Well, that's perfect. We'll use this recipe. That sounds awesome.
Yeah,
double chocolate banana cookies. Oh, delicious. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Samantha, for taking your time out of you're helping all your clients and your courses that you're doing and all the important work that you're doing for other people that are dealing with arthritis and their condition. And we're going to put all this information in the show notes so that our listeners can find you and also see what you have to offer through your website. And you're on Instagram, I imagine?
I am kind of on Instagram. I have a profile, but I'm not super active there.
Okay, no worries.
I have a weekly email newsletter that I do. And that's, if you really want to follow along, that's the best place.
Is that through your website?
Through my website. If you sign up for my ebook, which is the Bare Minimum Health Plan, you'll also get onto that email newsletter.
Perfect. And what's your website? Awesome. This your name, is it? Or?
Yeah, SamanthaHolmgren.ca.
Okay.
So go to the show notes to get the correct spelling of that.
Yeah, there we go. I will make sure we put that in there.
Yeah, for sure. And then the course that you have for helping people, anti-inflammatory path to wellness.
Yes. Yeah, awesome. So it's an online course. It is up for pre-sale. I will be recording the modules this winter, and I've got it on a lower rate for the pre-sale. So if you're interested, go check that out.
Awesome.
Cool. That's awesome. And I'll be sending people your way, because there are many people that are dealing with arthritis and want help and want to have some control over their life with pain and preventing, you know, just helping overall feeling good and feeling less sucky. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that the name of your course? How to suck less? How to feel? Yeah. Whatever you said, that was hilarious.
That's right.
How to make my day suck less. There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe that'll be my next book.
That'd be a great book title.
That's a really good title. I wouldn't buy that. Yeah, for sure. Oh, right, that's on. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Samantha. And yeah, I look forward to hearing how this turns out, Rob.
Oh, yeah. It'll sound like magic.
Excellent.
Minutes.
Awesome.
Anyways, yeah. So that's awesome. Well, thanks so much. And we'll talk to you again.
Well, once again, I got a pretty good lesson on a whole bunch of stuff I didn't know anything about.
Oh, wow. I know, eh? Arthritis, you just think, is diet, does that have any impact?
Well, in arthritis, I just, like I said in the beginning, I thought it was like something your grandma gets and not something that affects young people. I didn't realize there was, what did she say, like 100 different types of arthritis, like different versions. And I'm like, oh, I had no idea. So yeah, that was really informative. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who are like, oh, thank goodness there's some information finally for me, because I've been suffering from this. And now I've got some, you know, qualified information to help me with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I like her way she put it, when she wakes up and she's all sore and achy and maybe is in a flare, she's just trying to get through her day and making it suck less.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of the theme a little bit.
Yeah. And just, there's no one food that's so healthy that it guarantees your health, and no food is going to actually ruin your health, you know. And it's just, you know, again, balance and variety, and definitely, you know, all those kind of important nutrient-rich foods that we talk about every episode. And I think our nutrition nuggets, we're going to talk about 10 superfoods, the benefits of 10 superfoods.
Right.
And those, a lot of those will be included in some of the ones that she mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I said, we talk about the same things every week, you know, the which foods, the variety, the balanced diet. The Mediterranean diet comes up a lot. That seems to be a good...
Yeah, our Mediterranean lifestyle.
Yeah, well, that too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Long walks on the beach while drinking red wine and eating chocolate.
Not quite.
Chocolate and beans.
That's right. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. No, that was good. And there'll be... she's building a course, the Anti-Inflammatory Path to Wellness.
Nice.
Yeah. And we'll link that in the show notes and her website and blog.
Perfect. Yes. So check that out. Thanks for joining us, Samantha. It was great having you give us that information. So yeah, appreciate you spending your time with us.
Yeah. And you know, this was our 99th Monday episode.
Yeah. Full episode.
Wow. We're on the brink of 100.
Triple digits.
Crazy. That's awesome. So much good information and so much fun and so many connections with a lot of different people around North America, around the world. Great guests and excellent information.
Yeah. And we've got something new coming up too, right?
Yeah. We're working on our first private podcast audio course, and it's from requests from multiple people that I know. It's going to be called the Self-Care Nutrition Blueprint for Nurses. So people working shift work, people that are exhausted and just trying to get through the day, and they're finding that their own health needs are falling short. They're not able to take control of their own health and their family's health because they're always working. They're working 8 hours, 12 hours, possibly overtime, lots of shift work.
Yeah.
And it's just hard to, manage like meal prep and trying to figure out what to eat and when and how to eat and how to stay healthy. And, you know, they're ending up with higher cholesterol levels, with, you know, starting to have shifts in their hormone and metabolism. So all these things are happening for people. And it's like the frontline workers that are shift workers and that are working so hard to keep everyone else healthy. So this is going to be a great audio course that's coming out. And if you know anyone, or if you yourself are in that role and trying to have some more self-care and better nutrition and healthy living while you're working your job, please keep posted, and we'll let people know more about the evolution of that private podcast.
Yes, for sure. We will keep you posted on that with some regular updates. It should be coming out in the next, month maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But we will definitely let you know when that is available. I'm sure it will apply to a lot of different people. So yeah, something to consider. Maybe an early Christmas gift.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And there's going to be an article that Samantha wrote called Arthritis Best Foods on the blog that will describe in detail more of the information that we talked about on the interview.
Yeah, there you go. And don't forget to check out the other articles on the website, on the blog there as well. There's lots of new stuff in there every week. And you can also visit us on our social media pages. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Don't forget to leave a comment on there too. We always love hearing from you guys, hearing what you think, questions, that sort of thing.
And I want to hear how, if people listen to the previous episode on the orange foods, I want to know, did you incorporate more dark orange vegetables and fruits in your day last week?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we love hearing your feedback. So don't be shy. Reach out. Let us know what you think. And like Sandra said, just tell us what you thought of that last episode.
And we should mention, if you're new to the podcast, there's tons of episodes that you can search up your favorite topic in the past. As we said, this is our 99th episode, and we've covered everything from gallbladder, fatty liver, diverticulitis, fats, grease, and oil, ultra-processed foods, cancer prevention, orange foods for health. So there's so many different topics on all those episodes, and our Nutrition Nuggets, the midweek mini episode, is a great little nugget of good nutrition information. Sometimes we talk about healthy cookware. Sometimes we talk about superfoods, which is coming up next. And it's a way just to have a little bit of a smaller episode that has some packed with good information.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there should be something for everyone. So scroll through the list of different episodes. And if you don't see what you're looking for, there's another reason to get in contact with us.
Yes, please.
Let us know what you want to hear. And rate the show. Give us a thumbs up, a like, a star or five or however it works for wherever you're listening. It helps things move forward for us if we get those ratings in. Feel free to write a review. Throw it up on the website. Throw it up on any comments that's on social media.
Just don't throw up.
Especially on our page. That's not allowed. Silly Sandra. All right. Well, that's about it for this week. We appreciate everyone tuning in and joining us and sharing your ear with us. And we will be back Wednesday with our Superfoods episode on Nutrition Nuggets. So until then, have a great week.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode. Thank you.